coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Welcome. You're about to hear yet another episode of the series called Faith That Functions. Today we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, through to chapter 4, verse 5. This is the second lesson for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." It was quiet in the Ardennes on Sunday, the 16th of December, 1944. People were preparing for the first Christmas since the Nazis had been driven out. That's when hundreds of German artillery pieces opened up on American positions. Over 250,000 German soldiers marched in. 1,000 tanks rolled through. The Nazis' goal was to take the city of Bastogne and then, if their luck held, reclaim Europe. By the 20th of December, American troops under the command of General A.C. McAuliffe were surrounded. 2 days later, the Germans called for his surrender. History famously records his monosyllabic reply, "Nuts." Meanwhile, history has almost ignored the words of a young soldier, a private from the south. He was also in Bastogne. Being relatively new, he might, you'd think, be shaking in his boots. He wasn't. He seemed so incredibly calm that his sergeant asked him a question. And for the purpose of this message, I've cleaned up their military language a bit. The conversation went something like this. The sergeant asked, "You do understand the Krauts have us surrounded, don't you?"
"Yep, I get that, Sarge."
"And how do you feel about that?" asked the sergeant. The private thought, and then he drawled,
"Well, Sarge, I feel sorry for them dirty dogs."
The sergeant erupted, "What do you mean, them poor dirty dogs? We're the ones surrounded." Finishing the last bite of his breakfast, the private explained,
"True enough, Sarge. But if I understand correctly, this is the first time in this war we can actually attack the enemy in any direction we want."
Today, in a different war, in a spiritual war, Christians find themselves agreeing with that private. In our day, Jesus' followers are also able to say, if we understand correctly, we can attack the enemy in any direction we want. Although we're saddened to make such a statement, we're not shocked. We're not surprised because centuries ago St. Paul said the day would come when the Savior's people and his message of salvation would find themselves under attack. Speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, "The time is coming when people will not endure such sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Verse 3. With this prophecy in mind, knowing that we will be attacked for our faith, we learn from this epistle that we are really also on the attack. And so we preach the word in every direction. Having made this prophecy, and so God's people might be prepared for the attack, the Holy Spirit described what this day would be like. Listen to the Lord's list and see if his warnings don't accurately describe our generation. First, God says everyone who wants to live as a Christian is going to be persecuted. Verse 12. Second, Enemies of the cross, that is, pretend pastors and preachers, will deceive God's people just like the devil has deceived them. Verse 13. Third, the truth of God's word is going to be ignored. Verses 3 to 4 of chapter 4. People will find man-made myths more acceptable to their minds, more palatable to their spiritual appetites, than God's word. Paul seems pretty accurate. What do you think? We may even say our generation's unbelief is even larger, stronger, or better organized than it has been in the past. When we study God's word, we can quickly see how it can get from bad to worse, as the consequences of sin has time to infect every part of history, and at an increased rate. Some sins are even so popular that they have become normalized and protected by law. In short, man's thinking that he could know better than God has never gone out of style. In the Garden of Eden, Satan inferred that the triune God had been lying to our original ancestors. Adam and Eve agreed and tried to take control. The builders of Babel began their work with a verbal challenge to God's authority. During the wilderness wanderings of Exodus, Moses found he couldn't take a step without the children of Israel complaining, criticizing, and condemning the Lord. Although these people of Scripture nagged and nitpicked at God's graces, it's our generation that has taken humankind's disapproval of the Lord and raised it into an art form. No lie. You thought it was bad before. True, other times and other civilizations have taken shots against God, but they usually did so with some degree of hesitation. That's why in Psalm 53, David's choir master would write, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Yes, those fools denied God, but it seems their denial was done in their heart and not with their tongues. Our age is different. Our age has shown an ingratitude as seen by no other. Our century has seen the rise of an attitude, the development of which is a gleeful, glad spirit that defies God's grace at each opportunity and denigrates his hand in the affairs of men. Today it's become only too fashionable and trendy and stylish for average, common folk to say there's no God. Amazingly, they won't make this claim with any hesitation. It's just rude and in your face. This lie is spouted out with a smirk, a smile, and a boast. Even colleges that were once upon a time founded by Christians are educating men and women to no longer feel shackled by the old-time Bible myths. Countries that were founded by Christians and whose stability, success, and legal system were based on the Holy Bible now find that it is politically correct to keep their distance from anything that smacks of Scripture or makes reference to the Redeemer. "Look at what we've done on our own," is the boast of the godless crowd, fanning the shows, books, movies, and magazines that make big money by disrespecting God. With itching ears, the general public then awaits the newest chapter in the Lord's denunciation. But there's more. Today, bold revisers of history break out their erasers and remove any and all references to the Redeemer and the positive things which His church has done. With bogus bravado, these men attack the pages of Holy Writ, so their speculations and assumptions, their doubts and denials, their refutations and repudiations may make the front page of the local paper or a scientific journal, and gullible souls, intrigued by the lies and impressed by the false revelations, turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Sadly, we've just begun. The ranks of these enemies surrounding us have been increased by some media ministers who claim they're rooted in God's word. True, they may be called reverend, but their preaching is hardly centered on the Redeemer. Ask them, "Is Jesus the only name under heaven that saves?" And they hem and haw. Inquire, "Is a person saved only by grace through faith?" And they hesitate. Challenge them by asking, "Why do you mention your name more than his, and your plan to get earthly riches rather than a heavenly home?" His plan, to seek first the kingdom of God. Challenge them and you'll find God's sure and certain plan of salvation has been placed on a most slippery slope. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Allman. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with identifying our enemies that are pretty much on every side of us, and what, if any, is our counterattack. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Allman, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
To understand more of God's teachings.
Every time I learn something new, because on my own I couldn't understand everything.
I like it when the pastor explains the context. I find it really informative.
They help me understand what Jesus really meant.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible studies are very important in the life of a congregation, indeed in the life of a Christian. As we study, reflect, and discuss God's Word, what it means, and what it means for us today, we grow in faith and understanding of what discipleship with Jesus is all about. And all this in the company of brothers and sisters in Christ. Bible studies are worth it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Hi, this is Pastor John Ehlers, and I'm on a quest. A quest for answers to pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today.
Don't miss the Lutheran Inquisitor every Monday on Lutheran Radio UK. Go to our website for times and podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about how we really are attacked from every side as Christians today. The question is, do we fight back and with what? If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. Do we need to identify other enemies that surround us? Should we speak about the pseudo-scholars who've stripped Christ of his miracles, scratched out his teachings, and rebranded him as a social worker and not the Redeemer? Should we mention those who've made the Savior into a warehouse Santa, whose job it is to give us stuff and more stuff, who've made him a good guy rather than God's great gift of grace? Should we speak of those who denied doctrines of Scripture and substituted their opinions? Should we speak of countries that have declared conversion to Christianity to be a capital offense, where Christmas and Easter worshippers become targets for murderous militants? Should we talk of those who have, in spite of obvious and opposing differences, declared all gods to be the same, all heavens the same, all paths to forgiveness the same? Truly the time of which Paul spoke in our text has arrived. People no longer endure sound teaching, but prefer to find teachers who tell them what they want. And let me tell you, what they want bears no resemblance to God's inspired, inerrant word. Or to use my opening analogy, if I understand it correctly, this is the first time in this war we can attack the enemy in any direction we want. Still, I wonder, is attacking the enemy what the Lord wants his people to do? Why not just quietly coexist and know what we believe, even if nobody else agrees? Just keep the peace. Well, years ago I saw a cartoon that I'm afraid will lose much of its humor in the telling. The first clip showed a rough-looking figure who was walking through the streets of Sodom and Gomorrah. He carried a sign that read, "Repent, the end is near." The second clip showed the man being asked, "Why do you carry that sign? You've been carrying it for 20 years and it hasn't made any difference." The last clip showed the sign carrier's reply. He said, "For the first 19 years I carried the sign in hopes that I would change you. Now I carry it in hopes that you won't change me." In many ways, that cartoon explains what we Christians are to do. This church, this pulpit, are here so we can tell the sinful world just how much God cares for them, for us. We exist so the Spirit can use us to reach out and let them know there's good news and great joy that has come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. We come together so that we may go out together and let them know this: no matter what you've done wrong, no matter the magnitude of your sins, because you are sinners, Jesus Christ has fulfilled all of God's laws for you. He has resisted temptation for you. He has carried your sins for you, and he has unfairly and unrightly died for you. Now, with the Holy Spirit-given faith which we have in this risen Redeemer, you are forgiven. saved and strengthened. As one of his pardoned children, you have been rescued from the punishment that awaited you and have been given a new life, a recycled life, a life where sin, death, and Satan no longer own or control you. Attack in every direction? This is what that means. Our job is to preach the story of salvation in every direction. Yes, I know there are many and conflicting ideas on what this congregation is to be. So thank God we know who has the final word. Through Paul we hear, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Preach the word. Preach the word so the world might be changed. Preach the word so the world doesn't change you. During the Civil War, as General Lee's Confederate soldiers were coming up the Chambersburg Road toward Gettysburg, one local lady, Hannah was her name, felt she had to do something. But having nothing else to use as a weapon, she grabbed the broom from her door and started walking down the roads to meet her enemy. Eventually, Hannah encountered the Confederates, who quite frankly just brushed her aside. Some years later, at a ladies' guild meeting, the Gettysburg ladies recalled the fight and had some fun at Hannah's expense. One of them, a Mrs. Bumberger, asked, "Hannah, what in the world did you expect you could do with your old broom against that great Southern army?" "Well," said Hannah, with her Pennsylvanian Dutch accent, "I didn't think I would slow them down, but wanted them to know what side I was on." Standing fast, preaching the word, showing them what side we're on. That is a large part of what it is to be a Christian, even if atheists in this day and age are able to brush us aside. Any way you say it, our job is the same. We stand fast when everyone else is deserting. We share God's truth to counter the devil's lies. We preach the word. It is who we are. It is who God chose us to be. And so it is what we do. By God's grace, may it always be so, in the name of Jesus, who gave up his life for us so that we may not perish, but live forever with him. As he carried his cross, we shall carry ours. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.